Would you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, last week we opened a children's book. There it is right there. We opened that book to discover that there was only one inimitable, irreplaceable you, and that you had only one absolutely unique life. Now, I don't know about you, but as simple as that all is, I was really kind of struck by that, and it stayed with me. It had been with me for a couple of months before the sermon, and it's been with me all week, and it made me decide that I want to do something here over the next 4 weeks from today, and that is this. I want to talk about this issue of being only one you, and how do you live out a consecrated life in this world as the only one you that there is. So that's where we're going. The sermon series will be called Only One You, and today we start, and we're going to talk about being sanctified. Now, considering that Jesus says that we must receive the kingdom of God like a little child in order to enter it, we decided last week that our goal then was to be the nice kid, right? Remember that. So that's us right there. That's us on our journey. We're going to be the nice kid. And I'm not joking. I think that's a powerful thought. I am so grateful to the people that put that on an elementary school wall. I wonder how many kids that's soaking into. Oxymoronically, there's sophisticated theological word for the development of this childlike faith. Imagine that, right? We're Presbyterians. That word is sanctification. Say it with me. Sanctification. Sanctification. Sort of the process of being sainted. Saint, right? So we're going to talk about that. It basically means, in terms that would appeal to children, becoming holy. And so I want to explore with you in these coming weeks, how do we become holy? First of all, do we have to? Are we called to? And we're going to look at that today. But then, if that's the case, how do we make good on that? How do we become holy? That's going to be our focus over these next few weeks. What does it look like to live a sanctified life? To literally, and realistically become Christ-like, become holy. For now, let me just say that it's a process. And this is as we begin this journey. So think of it this way. It is a process. Sanctification is a process. Okay? And it comes in four stages. The first is beginning. We're going to talk about that next week. The second is believing. The third is being. And the fourth and last is belonging. So that's where we're going. I hope you'll come along with me. I hope this will have richness and meaning for you. So think about this. Beginning. They're all B's, right? This is preacher stuff. I never do this. Four B's. Beginning, right? Believing. Being. Belonging. By the time we're done with this, you guys will be able to do that with me. I know you. You did the fruits of the Spirit. There's nine of them. All right. The challenge is this world, right? You heard the text that Eileen read. That's Jesus' final prayer in the 17th chapter of John's Gospel as Jesus is on his way out of this world, as he's on his way literally out of the upper room. He prays. And he prays first for himself, then for the 12, the disciples, and then for you and me. And so we're kind of listening in on that prayer, right? And that's what we heard, Jesus saying that the challenge was this, was the world. And this is a fully knowledgeable Jesus, right? This is the Jesus that's just a couple of steps away from heading up that hill to the cross. And he clearly sees the world as evil's playground and as a great distraction for people of faith. So how do we deal with that? So the last thing the soon-to-be ascended Savior does is pray for our protection, yours and mine. And the issue from first to last, if you listen to the whole prayer, is one of belonging. Who belongs? Who belongs to whom? Who longs for us to belong to him? Verse 6, ahead of where we were today, says that the disciples had come from the world. John is making an enormous distinction between the world as it exists out there and the kingdom of God, which we're called to create. So he said that these disciples, all of them, had originally come from the world, and we know that. Common lines of work, ordinary, if you will, lives, immersed in their own culture as we are in ours. And they came from there. And verse 14 says, now they've been changed. And the agent of that change has been God's word given them by Christ. God's word transforms. That's the message. Now, the power of this word, and this word is, of course, on two fronts. There is this word in the Bible, right? And there is the word of God who came and fleshed to go to the cross. So now the power of this word has separated these disciples and you and me from our roots in the world. And now, and this is a quote, the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Jesus actually says that twice. He wants to make sure that we get this, both verses 14 and 16. And so he prays. He prays, listen in. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. This is important for us. This is critically important for us. He tells us that we're to be in the world, but not of the world. We can't simply slip away to our prayer cell and isolate ourselves from the world and become holy by spending our days fully in prayer. Good a thing as that may be for a short while, we are called to go out into the world. It's Jesus praying for us here to do what he has done. Go out into the world. Transform. So if we're to be in the world but not of the world, what does that look like in real world terms? Well, the people are to be one. You heard that, didn't you? People are to be one. They're to celebrate the faith that binds us in the face of all of those sham values of the world which fractionalize and hierarchize and further separate us. Not us. Not us. We're to become one. One with one another. One with Christ Jesus. One with the Father. One with the Holy Spirit. And then the followers of Jesus, in this sense, are to be witnesses to the truth. Witnesses of the truth in the midst of satanic falsehood that stands all around us. We are to be people of integrity, witnesses to the truth as Jesus is the truth. And lastly, Christians are to engage in meaningful contact with the world. They're to be change agents witnessing for Jesus Christ. The desert fathers and mothers were wonderful people, and they left us great prayers and rich thoughts. But I wonder what God really thought as they hid out in their hermitages in the middle of the desert. And they spent all their time in that contemplation. Does God love and honor that if they're not engaged with the world? One day I'll ask him. One day I'll ask him. But we're to be engaged in this meaningful contact with this world in which we're surrounded. We're to become these change agents. In fact, we're now charged with Christ's mission. What he did is what we're to do. Christ says, as you have sent me into the world, so I've sent them into the world. That's you and me, that them, that's you and me. We're sent into the world. We are to be missionaries for Jesus Christ in this world. And believe me, you don't have to go to Africa or China or Zimbabwe or somewhere like that to be a missionary. You can be a missionary You are a missionary. You have been missionaries right here in Fountain Hills, right here in Phoenix, right here in Arizona. Code Red. You're missionaries. You're reaching literally, physically, the gospel out to people that need it desperately. Congratulations. Seriously. But the problem is this. We're not Christ. And we're not immune to the ungodly power of sin. And so we are sent out into this world, which is so infected with that that we find attractive. How do we make our way? How do we do that? How does Jesus intend for God to protect us as we live as he did amidst the temptations of the evil one? Sanctify. Sanctify them, says Jesus, in the truth of your word. Sanctify them in the truth of your word. That's our shield. That's our protector. And as we lean into it, God, through his efforts, sanctifies us. So sanctify, the Greek word is hagiazo. Hagiazo. And it has its roots in the word for holy. Hagiazo. It means to set something aside for special use. If you sanctify something, you take it apart away from everything else and you use it for something special. You honor it. It becomes sacramental. It means to consecrate something, to dedicate something, to imbue it with spiritual meaning. And it means to eliminate that which is incompatible with holiness. In other words, we're called to purify ourselves. To get rid of those things that are incompatible with holiness. Jesus asked God to, quote, set the disciples aside for this special work, a request which extends now to you and to me. How does that make you feel? Christ saw you coming. In that upper room, on that fateful night, Christ saw you were coming. He knew you were coming. He knew you in the womb before you were knit. And he wants to sanctify you so that you may be his blessing in the world. The process looks like this. As we internalize the truth that we find in God's word, we start to become sanctified. As the message about Jesus is heard, believed, and understood, our hearts are captured and transformed, and we begin to be sanctified. Our character is fundamentally changed into Christ's likeness. It's not something we put on ourselves. It's something we become. It's a way of being for us. Being Christ-like. It is not the doing. It is the being. Ultimately, it will be both. Because the being will bring about the doing. This is made possible because of Jesus' sanctifying work in offering himself on the cross. This union with this crucified and resurrected Christ gives us authority and ability to live out our calling in this world. So now let me not mislead you. Let me not be naive. Let me not walk you down the primrose path. Let's not fool ourselves into thinking this will be easy simply because Christ has prayed for us, grateful as we can be. There's work to be done. And the Apostle James is going to be our guide during this series as we seek to understand our calling. So let me take you back to our text today. This J.B. Phillips version that we're using is written in sort of, if you will, colloquial common English. It's a little easier to wrap your minds around maybe than some of the older texts. This is what James, the apostle, James, the brother of Jesus, James, who was known in the first century church as Old Camel Knees. You know why? Because he spent so much time in prayer on those hard stone floors that he developed calluses on his knees. Old Camel Knees. James's book is full of wisdom. That's really what it is. So he offers it to us. Listen to what he says this morning, when we're thinking about going out into the world but not being of the world, and the opposition that we'll encounter, surely encounter, as Jesus says, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. This is what James says. When all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brothers and sisters, he means, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. How about that? When all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, don't resent them as intruders. Welcome them as friends. They're there to teach you something. I've told you again and again and again, when people come in and visit with me, those folks that are on a roll, that are on a high, that everything's going great, it's wonderful to talk with them. It's uplifting to talk with them. But you know what? Nobody ever learns anything when they're in that condition. It's when you're beat down, dragged out, have nothing left, that your soul is exposed and the Holy Spirit can speak to you. And that's what James has his finger on here, right? When these trials and temptations crowd into your lives, don't resent them as intruders. Welcome them as friends. They're here to mature you. Realize that they come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of endurance, an important quality for a Christian. But let the process go on until that endurance is fully developed, and you will find you have become men and women of mature character with the right sort of independence. That's an important thought, the right sort of independence. What does that look like? We're going to find out. And if in the process any of you does not know how to meet any particular problem, he has only to ask God, who gives generously to all men without making them feel foolish or guilty. Isn't that great? No shame, no blame, none of that stuff coming from God, none of the stuff that we slather around when we help somebody. God, we call out to him and he comes and he helps us, right? And he doesn't make us feel foolish or guilty, because he's not in the foolish and guilty, the shame and the blame and the unforgiveness business. He's in the business of creating wholeness. And he may be quite sure that the necessary wisdom will be given to him, but he must ask in sincere faith without secret doubts as to whether he really wants God's help or not. No secret doubts, sincere faith. Take advice from old camel knees. Find yours. The man who trusts God, but with inward reservations, is like a wave of the sea carried forward by the wind one moment, driven back the next. That sort of man cannot hope to receive anything from God, and the life of a man of divided loyalty will reveal instability at every turn. I'm betting everyone in this room, everyone, has probably encountered somewhere a man of divided loyalty, have had to deal with that, had to figure out how to navigate those waters. They're all over the place out there. But that's not us. This is what we're called to do, to endure, to be patient with trials, to learn from them, to endure, and to go out and spread that faith. This is real life stuff. This isn't ivory castle, ivory tower, hide away sort of thing. This is fully engaged. This is a charge into the world. This is the Great Commission lived in you and me. Now, like I said, our transformation into sanctification is a process, not a product. It's a process of becoming holy. Holy. Try that on. It's a process of you and me becoming holy as God is holy. Not because we can do that, but because he can do that. It's pursuing God's purposes. In simple terms, what does God want for you? What does God want for your life? What does God want for the world in front of you? Where do you see God at work around you, and where can you come and join him? It's pursuing God's purposes, not your own. It's doing only what God wants, loving what God loves, and yes, 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 hating what God hates. That's what it is to be sanctified. It's to become in union with Jesus Christ and in the Father God. And the process unfolds like this, as I told you. First step is beginning, obviously. And we're going to do that next week. We're going to talk about beginning this process, because this may seem daunting and overwhelming to you. You may be going, God could never make me holy on his best day. I beg to differ. So we're going to talk about beginning. How do you get started? Then we're going to talk about believing. How does that fit into our lives? How does that become armor around us? How does that carry us into the places we have to go and sharing the message we need to share? And then there's being. How do we be? How do we be? I want to talk about that. That's so, so, so important. We get so hung up in the mechanics of living. I must do this. I must do that. I must do this properly. I must do that in the next sequence. How about just being? What do we look like if we just be and Jesus inhabits us and radiates from us? We'll talk about that. And finally, we'll talk about belonging, because that's so important. To whom do we belong? Who belongs to us? How do we belong to one another? All of that is tied into our journey of sanctification. So that's where we're going over these next few weeks. And this is territory that we'll walk together. And I realize it sounds deeply theological, probably because it is, but I'm going to try to make it truly practical for you as we go. Carolyn asked me last night, we were talking about this, and she said, are you going to tell stories? What do you think? Yeah, we'll find some stories, I promise. This morning, we listen in to the prayers of a man who really knows how to pray. He's the Son of God, in some measure. He's praying to himself, for himself. And he prays that we, you and I, might be sanctified. I want you to hear that, we might be sanctified. This means, in the ongoing conflict between the cross and the crowd, we've been set aside for God's own purpose. This means that we're protected for this work by the love and the power of God himself, who ordained us to this calling. And this means that we've been made holy. We, you and me, all of us, we've been made holy. Imagine that. Open yourself to that. Let that sink in. Let it sink into the one and only you. That God made you one and only holy. Each of us different in the measure of the gifts that he gave us. It means that we've been made holy in the love, the grace, and the power of that one that died to make us so. Try that on. So let me ask you now, with this complete, would you take a minute and will you pray with me? Then we'll have words up on this board here. Let us pray to the Lord. God is calling us home to the one who created us.
If we will listen, God will sanctify us.
God is calling us from the far distant places of our hearts.
If we will listen, God will sanctify us.
God is calling us to return to the everlasting arms that hold us in safety. God is calling us to springs of living water.
If we will listen, God will sanctify us.
God is calling us to life eternal, abundant, and joyful.
If we will listen, God will sanctify us.
Amen. Oops, not quite. If we listen, we will hear God's voice. Gets better.
We will listen, God is ever calling us.
Amen. Right? We got there. Amen. If we will listen, we will hear God's voice. I pray that it is so as we travel this road together. May God bless us all. And let us take a moment now in silent reflection to see what the Spirit may be saying to each of us.